Hello and welcome everybody to episode 28 of the 11.7 podcast. It is April 12th, 2019, and another Friday night in the books full of extensive fun baseball action. James, you ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it.
Welcome back, guys. It is another episode of the 11.7 podcast, the official podcast of College Baseball Hub. You guys check them out on Instagram and Twitter. They even have a website right now that's been popping lately because they have a new questionnaire to find your right college if you're in high school or junior college. So you guys go fill out that questionnaire. James, did you know today is the first time in 9 years Long Beach State, the Dirtbags, went to war without Troy Buckley, the head coach?
Oh,
breaking news.
Boy.
Was it yesterday or Wednesday? I can't remember.
Last night.
Late last night on Thursday. My days are running together. But, yeah, he's out. Fired. Midseason. First time in 9 years they go to war without him.
Dude, there is so much about this situation that I want to know more about. I just can't wrap my head around it. Starting with the fact that we low-key got tipped off on things. What was it, about a week before all this went down?
Yeah, it was last Sunday, I believe. It was past Sunday.
Yeah.
We got a strange DM and from an anonymous source saying, basically listing out everything that has been going on behind the scenes at Long Beach State and how Troy Buckley maybe isn't the greatest guy in the world. And we didn't know what to do with it. We're not professional journalists or journalists like there are around college baseball. So we didn't know whether to post it or ignore it or believe it. So
I'll tell you what we did, though.
What'd we know?
What we did do is get that person on the phone. And we did speak with this. We did speak with our source, familiar with the athletic department and close with the athletic department at Long Beach. Because when this finally went down, we determined as a staff, all right, we're going to do some ethical digging here and see.
Keyword
ethical.
We didn't try to do too much dirty digging because that's just not who we are. But we were interested and we were impressed that he came to us first. So might as well do something with it, right?
Right. So I actually extensively spoke with this guy
or girl.
It's a guy. I mean, too late for that. It's a guy. There's only 3.5 billion that you can find. And it honestly, I felt, and I know you felt it too, when he got fired, I was like, wait a second. Like, I know they had a terrible season, but it's half of a terrible season. Like, there's got to be something going on.
Yeah, coaches don't get fired halfway through the season if there's not something else going on. Whether it's an NCAA violation or maybe something going on behind the scenes in his personal life or something going on behind the scenes in their, like, baseball team life. So we knew there was something up. And I guess it was kind of a combination of a couple of them. I don't know. Go ahead, James. You talk
to
me.
There's a piece on our website that dives into things, but we're going to kind of give our thoughts and summarizations now. And just to kind of bring a summarization, basically there's a lot of pressure from alumni, apparently from former players and just boosters and things of that nature. So this all started really after the 2017 season, which Long Beach State was one win away from going to the College World Series. They won more games in 2017 than they had in 20 years. And Buckley gets rewarded with a contract extension through 2022. And then he goes off and actually joins Team USA is the pitching coach. The college Team USA is the pitching coach. Like, things are great. They couldn't be better. Long Beach State is solidifying themselves as a power. You know, again, back to the days of Troy Tulowitzki, Evan Longoria. Like, they're coming back. And then it just totally spirals.
Yeah. So what started the spiral out of control? Like, what really started turning heads and being like, wait, is this guy the real deal or did we get the wrong guy?
So according to the alumni, the alumni felt that Buckley wasn't a baseball mastermind, that he was basically kind of living off of previous recruiting class reputations, and that his personnel decisions were just so-so, and the alumni weren't big fans of those type of decisions. So that was kind of there already. But then in 2018, the fall of 2018, there were some players on the team that apparently were allegedly involved in a minor academic cheating scandal. Just something small, like allegedly copying homework. So not something big. And Ben, I'm sure you've had guys that you played with get involved in academic scandals.
Yeah, there was a honor council at Mercer that you would get sent to if you got caught cheating or whatever. Fortunately, I never did anything like that or got caught, just because, like, I didn't want to deal with the consequences. But, like, yeah, I had teammates go to honor council multiple times. And, like, it's 2019. It's very easy to see if somebody is cheating on homework, because most of it is online anyway. So it's real simple. So
right. So apparently, minor homework scamming. I say minor in the sense that no one's getting expelled here. You're not getting kicked out of university. So there's minor cheating scandal. And then allegedly as well, Buckley wanted to take care of things without the athletic department getting involved. And then that backfired. The athletic department, of course, finds out. And that really puts Buckley in hot waters with the athletic department. And if that's true, that makes sense. You really can't be doing that. Those type of things. Again, this is all allegedly. And so then apparently Buckley is none too pleased with the situation that he's found himself in. And in his fall exit meetings with players, some of the players felt like he crossed the line with some of his motivational tactics and some of the language used. Players felt like they crossed the line. And supposedly it's been more than a handful of players that kind of all got together and said, like, did you hear this? Because I heard this. And it's like, yeah, I heard that too. And the players really started to question, like, what, like, is this the type of guy that we thought, you know, we signed up to be a part of? And so that really, that when you asked the question, like, what really started it, that was a big part of it.
And wasn't it something like a majority of the guys for, like, the last 2 or 3 years either got cut or transferred schools? So, like, the recruiting classes that he was bringing in, probably based off of the name itself and, like, the legacy that Long Beach State has, kids were excited out of high school, like, oh, I get to go be a dirtbag at Long Beach State, you know, home of Troy Tulowitzki and Jared Weaver, Evan Longoria, those kind of guys. And then they get there for a year and they're like, this is not where I need to be. This is not where I want to be. And, like, they had multiple players leave after their freshman year and go be junior college All-Americans or go be Division II All-Americans. So it wasn't a talent thing. It was like they knew that place wasn't going to make them the most successful.
And I'm glad you really touched on that and you're tying things together for me, because that was a source of the alumni frustration, according to who we spoke to. It's like, why are these great players leaving? Yeah. But just a direct quote here, just to talk about the reason for the roster turnover, is allegedly one player was told that he was too skinny to play shortstop for Long Beach State. I mean, that's
weird, because I used to be told I was too fat to play shortstop.
In the age of 2019 in baseball, like, everything we know is just like, that's just a weird thing to say. Like,
yeah. Andrelton Simmons just wins gold glove after gold glove and he's 140 pounds.
Yeah. 100%. And then And then something that was all. So there's a lot of player complaints coming in as well. So the athletic department allegedly isn't too pleased with Buckley and his players, and then the players are complaining about Buckley as well. And I guess one final story is allegedly a player was none too pleased about the way his scholarship was handled. You know, he was expecting a scholarship of X percentage. When he showed up on campus, only to find that there's a balance on his scholarship account that was not there, that was not supposed to be there.
And that's just blatant lying. Like, that's just trying to be a snake and not, you know, not live up to the word that you said. Like, if you tell a kid that you're giving him a, let's just say, for instance, a 75% scholarship, and he comes back to school with only 60%, it's like, hey, dude, like, we agreed on this. Like, I signed the paperwork. Where's the rest of it? So
I feel like, I mean, between me and you, I feel like that's very weird, because there's some actual legal issues there. Like, that's – I don't know, man. That's just weird. That's just weird stuff. And this player is no longer a part of the program after transferring out. So, I don't know, man. Definitely not good stuff going out there for the dirtbags. And they just I bet you those players just can't wait for this year to be behind them.
Yeah. And if you if you're wondering,
last thing. There's even more controversy going on, because the players are being told that yes, we're looking for a new coach, but allegedly behind the scenes they've already identified someone, and for some reason they don't want to tell the players who it is yet. So it's just all sorts of weird stuff going on.
Interesting. Yeah. If you want more details, we went in depth on the article that we just posted on our website. And again, we're not speculating, because we have a pretty good inside source, but we are also not, you know, putting this in concrete.
We're in unfamiliar territory. We're not afraid to say it.
Yeah, like we're very skeptical on the whole situation. At first, we were very skeptical, but then, like, we had a coach fired midseason. Like, that's always a red flag. Like, uh-oh. What's going on? And it just happened to be the same school that we were notified that things are not going well. So we're starting to believe it more and more every day. But that's basically what we did there, was summarize exactly what was sent to us and exactly what we wrote about in our article. There's still a lot to be uncovered. We're not saying that Buckley is an awful guy. We're also not saying he's the greatest guy. But from the source that we have, things weren't going well at Long Beach State. It was time for a change. And their season this year, I think they're like 3-26 or something, like abysmal. 5-26, abysmal. Yeah. So, we wanted to start the show on that, because we just released our article. Wanted you guys to hear it from us, you know, verbally. Anyways, James, in honor of the Masters tournament's going on. I don't know if you ever watched, but
I saw a little bit today.
Fungo golf. I want to, since golf is golf season, the prime of golf season.
And it is Friday. It's our first.
There is a game in baseball that many play. Very few are successful, but it's called Fungo Golf. Basically, I guess the best way to summarize it, if you're not familiar with it, is everybody gets a Fungo bat and one baseball.
It's a player's ritual, kind of.
Yeah, it's a player's ritual. It's like you have an off day, like, I'm going to go play Fungo Golf, or like, practice is over, let's go play Fungo Golf. Pitchers play all the time. Basically, you get a Fungo bat, a baseball, and you guys, like, as a group of four or five or however many you're playing, you pick locations across, like, around the baseball field to hit with a Fungo bat. So you might be standing next to the first base dugout, and you're like, all right, left field foul pole. You toss the ball up to yourself, and you hit it like a driver. And then
there's, like, a par.
There's obviously scoring systems involved, very similar to golf, where you get it in three strokes, it's a par. You get it, you know, you could just count strokes too. But I wanted to bring that up because I feel like I know for a fact you hate Fungo Golf, and I love it.
Not a fan. It's maybe.
What is there to hate about it? Like, why do you not like it?
I'm thinking about it, and I think it was just like one of those things where you have a bad experience first. Like, I think the first time, like, I know what it is. First time I was introduced to it back when we were younger, I wasn't too fond of the individuals who played it, and I just associated. It's like, I don't want to, like, you guys are no fun. Like, this is annoying. Like, get out of my face.
I know exactly what you're talking about. We had some old teammates that were not the greatest to be around, and they just love Fungo Golf. But
you know what I do like? I'm not a Debbie Downer. I like goofing off and having fun. I loved playing Ultimate Frisbee competitively with the team. That's something I could get behind.
That's too much running for me. See, I like Fungo Golf because I get to never go above a speed walk. It's always just a nice slow-paced game. And I've always been really good at throwing the ball up and hitting it to myself because I don't have to worry about a slider or changeup coming. So I'm pretty decent at Fungo Golf. I enjoy playing. I think that if – I don't know. I feel like there's never a bad way to play. Like,
you know, I will jump in.
You have free time. You might as well play.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I will jump in and say that I always snuck my head out and watched my buddies play up at Longwood if they took the tarp and rolled it out and used that as a hole and you had to hit it into
the tarp. You had to hit it inside the tarp? Yeah. That's a big one too.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite targets are like a foul pole, obviously, because like that could go bad. Like you hit it over the fence and like you got to go chase it. And so that sucks. Pool pins are always fun. Like, I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff. If you have like signage on your outfield wall, it's like, hey, hit the Jack in the Box sign.
Yeah.
That's always good stuff. But yeah, I wanted to bring
it
up.
In honor of the Masters.
In honor of the Masters, we had to bring up a little Fungo Golf segment. Everybody loves to play. If you haven't played, go out and try. A lot of fun.
Hey, you know what I think? I think the Georgia Bulldog bats, I think they've been bringing Fungos up to the plate because they haven't hit Tennessee pitchers at all.
It's literally ridiculous. It's been 18 innings, and they have still yet to score a run.
Not a fun night in the hotel
nope.
for Georgia.
Garrett Stallings was magnificent today, by the way. Complete game shutout for Tennessee. The bullpen was great yesterday. Georgia, and it's not like Georgia's not hitting the ball. I think Georgia out-hit Tennessee yesterday like 11-5.
They did.
And I didn't see their hit total today, but they were still like kind of hitting balls pretty decent. I don't know if it's a mixture between bad luck, bad base running. So be it. Whatever it is, they're just not putting runs across the board. And
Tennessee, the front line, the top tier for Tennessee, their arms, unbelievable, dude. I watched the game last night. I'm Garrett something. I'm blanking on their names right now.
Stallings.
No, last night.
I don't remember it.
Last name. They've got a lefty in there throwing 94-95 from like a three-quarter arm slot with a nasty slider. His first start in a year. I guess he's been their stopper, and they bring him out, and he's just throwing fuzz. And then they bring in a right-handed pitcher throwing 99 miles an hour.
Yeah, like short arm action too.
It looks like a mini Joe Kelly. And I couldn't help but think last night while watching these games, and you know this was not intended to be on the show, but it's on the show now because we make the rules. After watching the games last night, you can't convince me that if you're coming out of high school that you'd be better off for your ages 18 to 22 playing rookie ball, low A ball, or high A. Like those four different levels. You can't convince me that those years you'd spend there coming out of high school are going to be better for your development than 3 years of that type of stuff in like an SEC, ACC, you know, Pac-12. The level of talent, like it's at least high A level.
And they're going to play in front of much bigger crowds in the SEC, ACC, Pac-12.
And the games matter more, no doubt.
Games matter more, yeah.
You're definitely getting at these power schools. You're definitely like the people that are training you. They're getting paid more than an A ball.
The only difference is you're not getting paid as an athlete, and you also don't get a signing bonus. But if your signing bonus isn't at least six figures, most of the time seven figures, just go to school. Like, what? Why would you sign for 50 grand when that's worth like a year and a half of education at once?
I mean, I know school's not for everybody. Like, I played with some guys who like they were just at school as a means to get drafted because they weren't that good out of high school. Like, I get it. But I mean, I think if you're not like 100% committed to signing up to go play in the Appalachian League for like the Kannapolis Intimidators for like the years 18 to 21, you got to know what you're signing up for to go to these small towns with these terrible hours and ridiculously low pay. The food is supposedly starting to get better, supposedly, but it ain't great. We used to have this saying up in Virginia we'd ask, I would ask, how cold is it out there? Because I'm from Texas, and like Virginia to me was way too cold. And Art, we had a senior pitcher, he'd say, it ain't warm. Like, that's all. So like that's the food situation for minor league ball. It's getting better, but it ain't good. So just watching all these games and like this elite talent, like of course you're going to have some guys like that at bat in the 8 or 9 spot that won't be first round draft picks. But I mean, I think the game is going to continue to move this direction.
Well, the fan bases too are just fun to be around. Like, do you think Elijah McNamee is ever going to have to work for a job? Like, not work for a job, but like have a hard time finding a job if he doesn't make it to the major leagues? Like, Elijah McNamee from Mississippi State could get hired by anybody and everybody in Starkville, Mississippi, like immediately getting paid 6 figures just because like he's so liked. Everybody wants to be around him. Like, if he went and signed out of high school and played in Idaho, nobody would care about him. Like, there'd be a good, like a handful of people that would, but like you wouldn't even hear his name until he got to at least AA, AAA, 4 or 5 years down the road.
Dude, why do you think it is that like in basketball, they did away with the going out of high school straight to the pros? Why can't they do that in baseball? What is the reasoning behind that? Imagine how much better the sport would be if guys had to at least go to college for a year. It'd be wild.
Yeah, well, that's in college, the NCAA doesn't say like it's a one and done rule. Uh-huh. It's the NBA set a rule that says like you, or I guess they just changed it, but it used to be you had to be 19 years old. So it just informally led to a one and done rule. Okay. So in order for that to change, MLB would have to pass a rule that says like you're not allowed to draft anybody.
So it'd under be an owner's of... decision. It'd be all the owners getting together and voting.
Yeah, and saying like we're not drafting anybody under the age of 19.
Yeah, or 20 or something.
Yeah, and so they would have to go to school for a year or two. But
and that makes sense because in the NFL, I think the owners have a rule: you have to be at least 3 years removed from high school.
Yeah.
Like they won't, like if you're 2 years out of high school, like.
But like it's all eyewash because ultimately the NCAA has an agreement saying like, hey, like we're gonna make a lot of money off of this. Like you guys stay away. And because think about it, if the NFL had a rule where you could go to, straight out of high school, nobody's gonna go play college football. Maybe they will.
Well, I mean, the just by nature of how many rounds there are, like I think baseball is doing it wrong by having all these minor league teams. Like there should five teams. I don't know. What are we doing? Like it's everyone talks about, oh my goodness, why is it so hard to make it? It's like it's a math problem. There's 30 teams with 25 spots. What is it, 26 spots now? 30 teams with 25 or 26 spots, and you're picking from a pool of like 30 teams with 40 rounds each year.
Yeah, I mean there's 750. There's like 750 roster spots in the MLB. And you got to think at least 40% are foreign players, like from Dominican, Cuba,
it's probably
Puerto
right
Rico, Asian-born players. Like 40% are probably foreign-born. So you're looking at about 350 spots.
I'm looking this up.
350 American spots, and like most players play 10, 15 years in the league, like. There's just not a lot of opportunity out there. Like, that's why it's so hard. And there's two different levels of single A.
27%.
And so, I mean, this isn't even what we're supposed to be talking about, but I don't mind talking about it. Like, you have two different teams in rookie ball. You have a high A, low A, double A, triple A. Like, those all have a ton of roster spots. Like, only the best of the best ever make it. And that's why... you see guys that were stars in college and high school not even come close. Like,
I think when Jake Mangum's climbing towards the all-time SEC hits record, and he's showing the guys' names on the list, and it's like, oh, wow. It's kind of weird how, like, your ability to record hits in college doesn't seem to really freaking matter at how many all-star games you're going to rack up. You know, and you wouldn't think that, like, everyone, and he's an incredible hitter, and you can just imagine every other guy that is also, you know, approach that list has been an incredible player as well. And then they get into the next, you know, the next paradigm and the next level of competition, and it just doesn't seem to matter. It's wild.
Yeah, but that'd be cool if baseball had at least a one-year college, because that would help college baseball grow so much quicker and make it way more entertaining than it already is. But
well, it's, college baseball is growing, or not growing, is expanding and getting some things done, because it seems like the third paid assistant has a good chance of passing, Ben.
Yeah, I believe 11 conferences have voted yes and 2 have voted no. And so basically they have it where the Power 5 schools get their votes count for as 4. The group of 5 counts as 2, and then everybody else counts as 1 vote.
Can you explain to me the group of 5 thing? I have, or you're not too familiar with it.
Yeah, no. So the Power 5 is Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, Big Ten. SEC. Group of 5 is American.
Okay, I thought they were referring to Group of 5 as just like they're going to pull up 5 individual coaches and give them like together 2 votes. But no, it's actually 5 other conferences.
Yeah, I'm blanking on it. Okay, so we have American, Conference USA, Sun Belt, WAC.
A-Sun?
No. It's like everybody who's FC or F, there's still FBS in football. There's one more I'm missing.
I don't follow football enough to know.
Maybe the MAC or something. I don't know. One of those conferences, and then the rest just like SoCon, Big South, all those get 1. So the only thing hurting the vote is there's 8 votes missing out of the 60. So there's 60 votes apparently. And they need 31 to pass. They need 31 to pass, and there's 8 that are missing because the Big 12 and Big 10 both get 4. And so they're going to have to – they're releasing, I think, another 5 or 10 more conferences tomorrow. So it's kind of like the presidential election. Like, the conferences are like the electoral college, and you need – like, each conference gets a different amount of votes, per se. And you need this amount to win, but so I don't know, man. We'll see. Anyways, God, dude, it would just be so great for college baseball to have that rule pass. And I think it's effective immediately. Like the day it passes with a majority, you can hire a third paid assistant like that day. So,
wow.
Yeah. At least that's my understanding of it. So that would be really good for a lot of volunteer assistants out there. Maybe get paid for the rest of the season and then renegotiate at the end of the year.
Dude, wild.
Yeah. And like those guys deserve it. Dude, I'm a big believer that the volunteer assistant does, at least in the schools I was at, the volunteer assistant does most of the work.
Of course he does. Yeah, 100%.
Like, and it's not like the other coaches don't do work. It's just like he has way more responsibility making sure the field's ready and everything's. Like all the travel schedules and stuff are put together. So hopefully we see a lot of volunteer assistants get that quick upgrade, because dude, I'm telling you, if this rule does not pass, a lot of the young volunteer assistants will be out of the game. Like they'll be like, well, I'm not waiting 9 years to coach, you know, on salary. So they'll leave.
That's not good
for the game.
No, 100%. I've got a close buddy who at the time he was my volunteer coach, and he was only like 2 years older than me. And you know, now we're like just buds.
Yeah.
And he got out of the game because he was a pretty savvy pitching coach, like for a younger guy, you know, obviously still acquiring knowledge, but pretty good respect for the players and good feel and all that. And he was our volunteer at Longwood for 2 years. Shout out to Travis Thomas. And just like, this doesn't make any sense. I have an economics degree from VMI. I could get any job I wanted, you know, graduated with honors. Why am I toiling away? Like, and he was trying to get opportunities, you know, and
it's
hard. Just not enough spots, I guess.
Yeah. Opportunity is the key word. All these guys want is an opportunity, because really, like, what's going to separate, you know, a third paid assistant from a volunteer? Like, nothing. It's the same work. It's not like you're going to hire a catching infield coach. Like, it's going to be like the third paid assistant is just going to be a volunteer on salary. So
100%.
So hopefully we get that passed. We should have news by the end of the week. Like Sunday, I think we'll know if it passes or not. So by Sunday's episode, I'm either going to be in full rage mode or celebratory mode.
We're doing backflips.
We are. James, I don't know if you saw my tweet today, but I was sitting around my house thinking, you know, on a little Friday, like, man, I want to start a collection and I want it to do, you know, highly with college baseball. And so I put it out there for the fans. I think I got like 15 responses on items I could collect in college baseball. Help me out, man. What do you think I should do? Jerseys would be so cool. And we kind of have a jersey plug that I'm in talks with right now. Said he might send us some for free for, like, in exchange for a sponsorship. But it hasn't been confirmed yet. Jerseys are cool. Very expensive. Hats, I think they're really cool. I think those are also kind of expensive, but we'll see.
Are you? So here's my question. Are you collecting to, like, because hats are more of a, gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? Practical thing. Are you collecting for practicality or for, like, style or for
value? I think I want to collect to make our office look really cool whenever we move into an office together. An 11.7. Yeah, I want like it to be like a cool wall of something. Why I think the leading candidate right now is either felt pennants or mini ice cream bowl helmets. You know what I'm talking about?
Mini
helmets in general. Mini helmets. I think both of those would be so cool.
I'm a big fan of the mini helmets. What's the difference between a felt pennant and a pennant? And I also
I don't know, actually.
It's like, you know what that's like? That's like, what's the difference between a milkshake and a malt? If you can figure that out, you let me know. Because there's no, like, what's the difference between a milkshake
and
a
malt? What's the difference between jelly and jam?
I've actually, dude, me and my teammates at Long, so there's, get this. There's jelly, there's jam.
Please don't say what I think you're going to say.
And then there's preserve. Preserve.
Well, mine was kind of a joke, and you got to watch How I Met Your Mother to see it.
No, I haven't seen it. Okay, but no, this is a real story. There's jelly, there's jam, and then there's preserve. Like, me and my buddies, we got into arguments at Cracker Barrel, because that's the only place our staff would take us for breakfast. Breakfast is Cracker Barrel. And I'd be sitting there at the table, and Cracker Barrel gives you all this sugary stuff. I'm like, this is a jam, this is a jelly, this is a preserve. They all taste the same. Why do they got to name them three different ways?
I don't know.
It's wild.
I just throw up my mouth and start eating. Whatever.
100%. Yeah. But how do we get here? We're talking about pennants.
Yeah. What's the difference between a felt pennant and a pennant? Maybe one's plastic and one's felt material, cloth.
I like the pennant idea. Jerseys are definitely cool, but like you said, a bit pricey. Some original, like, special game memorabilia is always not bad.
Bobbleheads are cool. Jerseys. Shirt jerseys are my favorite. I love them. So basically, the reason why I brought this up on the podcast is because I know we have a lot of listeners, and I know we have a lot of generous listeners. So go ahead and send as much as you want my way. I'll collect it. Do you guys hear my cat in the background meowing?
Yes. If you guys would like to start seeing how handsome we are and Ben's cat, we need to start getting these things out on YouTube like we've been planning.
We're trying, dude. It's a hassle. anybody want a cat? Any of the listeners? I'll trade a college baseball jersey for a cat right now, straight up.
Dude, don't say that. You love that cat. I know you do. But
she's a rescue. She's a rescue. Humble brag, I rescued her. So,
dude, she rescued you. But I think it's time we dive into some scores this Friday night.
Let's do it. Yeah, we've waited long enough.
Want to take them?
Yeah, James, your boys at Coastal Carolina lost again.
Those boys are going to be falling out of the top 25.
Yeah. Georgia Tech can't seem to win.
Hey, you know who hasn't lost is Ole Miss.
Did they win again today? I haven't even looked. I refuse to acknowledge Ole Miss.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter. And Ole Miss destroyed Kentucky 8-2. Still will not be ranked ever until 2019 is over. Georgia Tech hasn't won a game in a long time. They lose to Boston College today 9-2. Not good. Not good. Panic button, Georgia Tech. North Carolina
Georgia Tech.
Yeah, North Carolina destroys Notre Dame. Wasn't even close, 10-1. Clemson loses to Florida State behind Drew Parrish's 12 strikeouts. He's back in midseason form, finally. Florida State needs him to go a lot of innings here in the last third of the season. Mississippi State shuts out Alabama behind Ethan Small's 15 Ks in six innings. And 14 of his first 15 outs were strikeouts, which is ridiculous. 14 of his first 15. Like 14 Ks through five innings is no joke at any level. We already talked about Georgia getting shut out against Tennessee.
How about Arizona State getting that dub Friday night?
Our boys, the Bash Bros, I picked them to beat Oregon State. Oregon State is just falling apart. They had another injury today. Not good for the Beavers. Arizona State, I just forgot their pick. Oh, Alec Marsh. Alec Marsh retired 18 of his last 20 batters faced. Big time for
Michael Early was pounding the table for Marsh in our interview.
Basically saying like he's a guaranteed draft guy this year and like he's one of the best. Like he said one of the best Friday guys in the country that nobody's heard of. So yeah. Luckily we're familiar with him. Our boys at Texas, the Longhorns dropped to Kansas State at home. Horns down, baby. Horns down.
The team that shall not be mentioned.
Yes. Oklahoma beats Baylor, and that was actually in our top 10 weekend series. I picked Baylor this weekend, so they're down.
I want no part of Baylor ever.
Yeah, Baylor is just a roller coaster. Vanderbilt is a part of the top 10 weekend series matchup. You picked them. They beat Arkansas today 3-2.
They'll bite her.
Absolutely no. Dude, I felt like Vanderbilt had no enthusiasm out of their crowd today, though. Like for
100%. I was very disappointed.
Yeah, it was disappointing to say the least. Stanford
they should play those next two games in Fayetteville.
They should. I think Fayetteville deserves it. There's just so much to do in Nashville, man. Like, it's not a huge city. I mean, it's a pretty big city, but like on a Friday night, everybody's going out to the bars and listening to good country music. Like, that's their biggest challenge. I think the Predators in the playoffs? Because if they are, like, I know people are way more obsessed with hockey over there in Nashville. It's kind of a shame to see that you have a top five team in the nation and you can't even get an enthusiastic crowd. So this is something I noticed. James, you watched the You watched the LSU-Missouri game. How was that?
It was totally wild, back and forth, nonstop. Mizzou goes up big. LSU comes all the way back. It was totally wild. LSU gets a victory on the road. After they lost, right before the Mississippi State series, we were kind of like, oh, you know, LSU all year long been just so-so. And then they really turn on against Mississippi State, and they continue to pick up big wins. Watch out for the Tigers.
Yep. Texas A&M beats Auburn, speaking of Tigers. You picked Auburn this weekend, so they got to win the next two to save it. And then lastly, I want to talk about UCLA taking on East Carolina. Two teams that we project to possibly host regionals. UCLA wins 7-5. East Carolina kept it close, though. UCLA hit like a two-run double in the eighth inning, I believe, to put them ahead 7-5. But it was tied up for a long time.
I definitely really.
The Pirates are the real deal, dude. Like, they're good, man. East Carolina might be the best, quote unquote, mid-major in the country.
Yeah, we're gonna update our mid-majors to watch list Sunday.
They're not even really a mid-major though, because they're in the American.
I guess it's
like a technical thing, but I don't know. For non-Power Five, they're a really fun team to watch. So that pretty much does it for Friday scores. Did I miss anything, James? I don't think I did, but
I don't think so. I think that pretty much highlights it. I'm excited to watch the day games. I like the day games. I feel like the day games are more of a grind it out type thing. I feel like crazier. I don't know. I don't have any proof. I don't have any numbers to back this up, but I feel like crazier things happen on the day games than on the night games.
This is an opinion of mine. If I'm going to a baseball game, I want it to be a night game under the lights. Or if I'm playing in a game, I'd rather play under the lights at night. But if I'm watching a baseball game on TV, for some reason, I love day games. Like, I
100%.
love day baseball. Like, whether it's MLB, college, high school, whatever it is, if I'm sitting on my couch, I want to see a bright yellow sun and people battling that sun with their flip-down sunglasses and all that shenanigans. But yeah, no, I'm pumped for tomorrow. I'm going to turn on ESPN Plus pretty early, probably around noon. And I'm probably not going to do anything until the end of the day. So sounds like a pretty good day for me.
Don't forget to stay hydrated, Ben.
James, today is a Would You Rather Friday. I have one for you if you have one for me. We didn't really pursue it too much on social media, so we only got a few suggestions. This one actually comes from my father. And I think you'd be interested in this one. Would you rather play a like one game a day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or would you rather play Friday and a doubleheader Saturday and have Sunday off?
Ooh, and we also get Monday off, correct, or no?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, that option.
What option?
The option that you just laid out, where I have Monday and Sunday off, 100%.
Doubleheader Saturday and have Sunday and Monday off.
Yes,
Because
and
everybody gets Monday off. Like that's like a pretty standard rule. You gotta
yeah.
have one off day, so Monday's the day. So yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna say that I love doubleheaders too. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like
It
I
was
guess
kind
it's
of just
because
we're rolling into the office
I didn't
today.
have to play the field too often, so I didn't run back and forth from a position. If I played, it was mostly designated hitter or pinch hitter. So yeah, I don't mind doubleheaders. So yeah, doubleheader Saturday, off Sunday, but I feel like there's a lot of people in the world that would rather just play one day or one game a day for 3 days. So
Right.
you got one for me or anybody that sent one in that you really liked?
Let me see. Let me see. Would you rather have to sit? Would you rather have to sit next to your coach on the spring break bus trip, or would you rather sit in the back of the bus for the trip, but one of your buddies took a dump?
Oh, I guess it just depends on what buddy.
Well, buddy took the dump.
No, there's definitely some people. My cat is going nuts back there. Hey, I think she's mad at me. It's 1:30 in the morning, and she probably wants to go to sleep. So she's like 6 months old and sassy. Oh, now she's crawling in front of my computer.
Dude, she's
She is
everywhere.
literally next to the mic.
Dude, she's gonna bite you.
I hope so. Get rid of her then. I'm gonna take back of the bus. That's where all the cool kids sat, so it made me feel a lot cooler. Oh, you want to say something on the mic? Speaking of that thing, this is Fergie.
And now she won't talk.
Just camera shy.
Dude, the way cats purr is wild. I'm not a fan. It scares the hell out of
No,
me.
dude, she loves me, and it's crazy. But anyways, I'm taking back of the bus because I always felt like I was a cool kid, or at least tried to be. And plus, like, I took a lot of naps on the bus, so I didn't want to be bothered by
Dude, you didn't have
coaches
to like
and
preface and say that you took naps on the bus. You just take
stuff.
naps.
I just take naps. Everybody's good at something, man.
Dude, when we lived together, we'd come right back from practice. Like, I'm taking a nap. I'm like, dude, like,
Yeah,
all right, man.
that's what I do, man. I still do it to this day. So, but that's a good question. I think there's some people that would rather not sit on the back of the bus when their buddy takes a dump, but I don't
Depends
know.
how miserable your relationship is with your coach.
Right. Yeah, but I think something that we didn't talk about that we can touch on right before the end of the show. Oklahoma State hits 12 homers today against Kansas. 12, one game. Not a doubleheader. One game they hit 12 homers. That was ridiculous. The wind must have been blowing out 100 miles an hour.
Dude, there are legitimately
That's an
teams in
NCAA
this
record,
country.
isn't it? At least in the BB Corps era.
It's got to be a BB Corps era, 100%.
100%.
There are definitely teams that came. What is going on?
I think my cat is like either super hungry Or she's super tired and wants me to get off the computer.
Why does she need you to get? She can go to sleep by herself. Dude,
she's spoiled, man. I spoil her. Oh, there she goes. She ran away. Okay, good.
Jesus.
Sorry, listeners. I hope you don't mind Fergie. She's in the background, purring away.
But what I was saying is there are definitely teams that came into play today with like around 12 home runs, and Oklahoma State just pounds out.
A lot of West Coast teams don't hit 12 in a season.
Oh, 100%.
And I just played gorilla ball today.
Dude, hold on. How much do you want to bet someone went over in that game?
They scored 27 runs. I hope nobody went over.
That's wild, dude. Would you rather go over in that game or like make like the final out on a base running play and your coach just tears into you?
Oh, go over. I don't want to make base running errors.
I'd rather just get my butt reamed once than go over in a day where 12 of my teammates hit home runs.
Yeah, that would be tough. That would be really tough, actually. I'm changing it. I'll just get yelled at. I was always good at getting yelled at.
Yeah, it's easy getting yelled at. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, you don't exert any energy. You just take it.
Oh, dude, by far, like one of the most ridiculous things that happened, like as a coach, and granted, I've never coached at like a high level school or anything like that, but I think it's hilarious when coaches yell at their players, like because of their player's performance. Like he doesn't want to strike out. He doesn't want to walk people. Like I feel like if you're gonna yell at your guys, it should be like something about like the way they're carrying themselves, or like, you know, maybe like it's something that you've addressed 5 times and they fixed it and you feel like they're choosing to kind of like cave.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny, like, we gotta hit the cutoff, man. Like, great advice, coach. Like, really, like I feel like the player should honestly be more pissed than the coach. Like imagine if like someone got on your case for something that you were genuinely already pissed about. Like you would have the right to turn around and say, I effing know. Like, I'm pissed. Like, I know. I don't know. It's funny.
No, I see what you're saying. Like, I'm sure it happens a lot. But yeah, coaches are just so close-minded. They think, I don't know. I don't want to get into it, but a lot of coaches out there just think they're, I don't know. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to make anybody mad. But
well, we know that there are probably a lot of bad coaches because by definition, they can't all be good.
That's true. Not everybody can be good at what they do. There's good and bad people in every industry. But James, I think we're pretty much done for this Friday night. It was a pleasure, and Sunday night show is going to be packed. It's going to be awesome. Like literally, like might be another hour and a half episode. I'm not sure
because we're going to release the top 25. We're gonna do our updated field of 64 as well, right?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's going to be wild.
That's a lot harder than people think, too. Like it's tough.
Dude, you did a great job. It was our first ever field of 64.
Dimitri did a majority of it.
You and Dimitri did a great job. We didn't exist 2 months ago to the day. We still didn't exist yet. I think our first episode was the 15th.
Yeah, it was.
So, we've come a long way. We're going to continue to get better. And you know why we're going to continue to get better? Because we listen to the fans and we engage with them. Isn't that right, Kitty?
That's right. Look, if you're watching on video, she just wants to be held. That's all it is. She's so spoiled. But for me, James, and Fergie, the new, I guess, mascot of the show, you guys enjoy your Friday night, Saturday morning, whenever you're listening to this. We'll be back Sunday night with another great episode. Peace, y'all.